All right, mic check 1 2 1 2. Mic check 1 2. Welcome to the G Lou Show. Friday nights. Sorry for the delay. We had a little bit of difficulty here, technical difficulty, but we are here. I am G Lou. I believe I have my co-host cousin Marcy with me.
Yay! Yay! Hey! Hey! Mic check 1 2. Hey, Phil.
Hey! Hey! Your mic sounds nice. How are you tonight?
Awesome. Good, and you? How are you? How was your week?
I'm great. Great, great. No complaints.
Awesome.
Yeah. We got a special guest tonight, cousin.
I know. That's why I'm like zipping my lips so I can listen and learn. I'm excited. This is going to be awesome.
Yes, he is an author. Been through a lot. OOG, you know what I mean, from the east side of South Central Los Angeles, South Park area. I'll just let him come on and introduce himself because he is here, ladies and gentlemen.
Oh, good. Glad to hear it. Yeah, let's get this on the road.
How y'all doing out there? My name is Nyeri Jace. For those that don't know, I wrote a few books. Wrote a book that's called Gangster Jake, The End Result of a Snitch. I also wrote the second book on that one that's called Path of Terror. And the third one is called Gangster Jake, Peace Treaty 2017. In addition to that series, I also wrote another couple of books. It's called Can't Get Enough, which I just dropped that book right there. For those that don't know about it, go be about it, or at least try to find out a little bit about it. But yeah, that's pretty much me in a nutshell. I'm from Los Angeles, California. As you mentioned, I'm from the east side. I represent the Avalon Gangsta Crips. You know, that's something I've been dealing with for years. You know, I'm not a banger, but I am a member. So,
okay.
That's what it is.
Hey, Nyeri, let me take it back if we can. Even before you became a writer, like you said, coming out of the east side over there and Avalon's, how was it for you growing up over there back in your day, man? How was it like? Because that's just such a strong and rich like community. I mean, just from the history over there, you know what I mean? What was it like for you growing up over there, man?
Well, you mean rich as far as monetary or rich as far as...
No, I mean rich, like rich roots, and a lot of great people came from over there. Rich like that. Nah, come on now.
I don't know what states I'm filming from. I mean that we talking from, but I just had to make sure, you know what I'm saying? Because some people, you know, they don't know L.A. They might say California, Los Angeles. They think of Beverly Hills or Hollywood, whatever. I don't know.
Nah.
But I just
I know all about that. I grew up in L.A. I know all about over there. So I just want you to
tell us, though.
I'm from over there, though. But, you know, so I would just love to tell how it was growing up there for you, sir.
Well, yeah, man, it was cool growing up on the east side, man. You know, I got to meet a lot of people, you know, just the upbringing. Just, I learned a lot about the streets. I learned a lot about the community. It was, you know, it had its ups and downs, wild side, you know, smooth side. But all in all, it was a great learning experience. We moved over to the east side in 1970. I was really just like a couple years old, like really wanted some change. And it's been a long experience, just from childhood to, you know, all the way up, just seeing the different people come and go. It's been good and bad experiences. It's been some riches up in there as far as, you know, history and stuff like that.
Yeah, that's what I was like, because I know, you know, even before the Avalon, the gang thing, I know was, you know, like the businessmen, you know, over there, and even her, like Barry White would be in the area. A lot of, you know, just serious people that became,
But South Park definitely got a lot of history when it comes to music, when it comes to, you know, gang activities and stuff like that, because, I mean, we already know about the Dunbar Hotel was right around there on Central. It wasn't that far away, so a lot of people that frequent that area came to our area, and it was more different back then than it is now. I noticed a transition from, you know, how things are now. It's real divisional, opposed, you know, like it's a lot of divisions over there. Like back then, like people that was like over from other areas, like you might have been across Central, which is areas that, you know, people have grown to not get along with for years. You may have been living over there back then, but they all came together across Central. They traveled a little bit more back then compared to how we do as far as locally. You know, I mean, we travel, we get in our cars, we go everywhere, but as far as, you know, everybody, you know, it was more unity in the community back then.
Talk about, I know, like you said, you have your book, the Peace Treaty, in 2017. Can you talk about that book? That's the book I'm really interested in myself. Can you talk a little bit about that book? Yeah.
Absolutely. Well, the Peace Treaty book, man, it formulated out of the Gangsta Jake series. It came about pretty much, as time went on. Like, just say for instance, like I kind of grew with the writings, to be honest. I kind of grew with the writings, because at first it wasn't really going to be no part three, no peace treaty. But as time went on, you know, I started, you know, changing my life, changing my philosophy about things, and, you know, seeing things different. I ended up putting that book together. But originally, like I said, the main character, which is Gangsta Jake, in this book, he started off as a serial killer. He was actually on death row. He was free from death row, and then once he went through all of that, got out and killed the people that he planned on killing, for the people that was locked up on death row with him. As all that time went on, one of his main dudes, one of his main homeboys named Horsehead, that was on the street with him during this whole process, where Gangsta Jake was tripping and going through all this, you know, turmoil throughout the city, his homeboy kept trying to slow him down, right? Kept trying to be like, man, just slow down, man, just calm down. Man, you're too wild, you're tripping doing it. So, you know, he was already ahead of the curve when it came to the peace thing and stuff like this. But Gangsta Jake, he wasn't hearing at the time. So as time went on, he ended up, you know, he looked up to Gangsta Jake. Even though he was promoting peace, he was still, you know, saying, doing his thing too. He was a little older homie, but not a way older homie. So basically, as time went on, through the first and second book, just to speed ahead to the third one, since that is the one that, you know, that you mentioned.
Right.
His homie that had gave him all the game and all the information had caught a case with Gangsta Jake. They caught a case together. They end up catching the case, shooting the police, killing two police or whatever. So they end up on death row. He couldn't handle it, man. He ended up hanging himself, man. But the whole time when he was on the street with Gangsta Jake, he used to preach about the, you know, man, let's stop all this killing. Because, you know, Gangsta Jake was a straight-up killer, man. Because his thing, he was killing snitches, right? He hated snitches with a passion. Snitches and police, he had a thing for it, right? So he was like, all right, I understand that, you know, you want to be a snitch killer and all that. But, man, just, you know, just what about the game bangers, man, the guys that ain't out there on that time, man? Could you at least, you know, want to try to – and Gangsta Jake, he was always with that. So once his homeboy died in prison and basically died messing with him as well, he really – had a burning desire to want to stop the banging, right? So based on the fact that he had so much pull, he had so much authority, you know, everybody like a damn fool for some reason. Even if they don't like him, they're going to respect him enough to want to be around him. At least respect in our world, you know, in the street world. You know what I'm saying? So everybody respect the fool. So like I said, he had done all these murders. He had all this respect. He had been through all these different areas. And, you know, he had made actually hundreds of thousands of dollars before he left the street when he finally got caught up and went back to jail, which was the second time he was on death row. The first time he was on death row, he actually was innocent for killing a five-year-old girl that they said he'd done that he didn't kill. So he ended up getting out on that, done all the murders that they had him for, went back to jail. And then when he got to jail, he decided to change his mind about killing, particularly gang banging, right? So he was like, you know what? He was like, you know, he thought about the peace treaty that happened in 92, right? You remember the one we had in April 92? He thought about that one, you know, where it was all conversation, talking, you know, we partied, we hung out, we chilled, we had fun, we drunk, you know what I'm saying? We got with each other, females, each other sets and stuff, but guess what? We ended up going back to war over, you know, who knows, whatever reason. Well, we know the reason. The police perpetuated a lot of this bullshit. Niggas couldn't get along with each other, even on top of that. Just, you know, jealousy, envy, whatever, however it happened, the war went back up. So, boom.
Okay. You don't want to, we ain't going to give them the whole thing. They got to go get that book.
Oh, okay, all right. Well, we can stop right there, but that ain't the whole book. Right. I understand what you're saying, but it's so much in this book, man. They can't get it. If they did get it, they want to hear it again or see it again, because that's where it's all going to film. It's going on in a series. But go ahead. I'm not listening.
Right. Yeah, I didn't want to give them a peek. They got to go get that book, though. Peace Treaty 2017, Gangsta Jake. Tell me, I want to ask you a couple things, and then I'm going to turn it over to Marcy because I know she has a couple questions. But what made you get into writing? What made you want to become an author, and how did you actually get your feet wet to get it going, or your first book or whatever?
Well, what made me get into writing? Well, really, it was kind of out of being bored, man, to be honest, what made me want to get into writing. I served a bunch of time. I was in federal custody for bank robbery. I was locked up for like on a 14-year sentence. But out of the 14 years, I ended up doing 12 years. The last 1 year, other 14 years, I just got kind of bored, man. I just needed something to keep me going, man. So I just decided to write this book, man. You know, I was thinking about, you know, what was, you know, going on the streets and, you know, how the shit was changing. And, you know, so I'm like, man, let me try to do something productive, man. Let me write this book. Let me get this, you know, this snitch shit off my mind. This motherfucker has told on me. Let me, you know, let me just move past it. Let me just write about it in a story, man. So I ended up writing about it in a story. That's what got me really writing right there. I got bored, and then, you know, I just kind of wanted to change my life.
Right, right. And how did you get to introduce, like, to make it happen? Like, I know, okay, I want to write a book. How does one go about after that, or how did you go about making it happen and putting it, you know, all the way in effect on paper and for sale?
Yeah, well, the way I went about it, man, it was a hell of a long, strenuous project, man. It seemed like when I first started to write books, because I didn't have a lot of information, you know, especially when I was writing them in jail. It's like, it's a tough grind up in there, you know, being up in there. Couldn't get the typewriters I needed. I couldn't get, you know, this, couldn't get that, you know. I was working in a law library, so so I end up having access to the old typewriter that they, you know, had up in there. I was working with that one, and you know, that become limited time. So it was like, you know, once I finally got it all wrote up, typed up, edited up, and like I said, man, it took me around. I must have edited probably like 10 times, man. Went over 10 times. This one brother introduced me to the writing game too up in there. As I was going through the journey, I was asking questions, Brother Small, about the Bay Area, and he was giving me a lot of information on it. So I was like, man, I'm just gonna start writing. But once I wrote it, and then I came to the streets, you know, I was motivated by, you know, want to get the story out, fresh out, just want to do some different things. So yeah, one thing led from that to, you know, taking it to Dr. Milligan. I don't know if you guys ever heard of Dr. Milligan Books on Manchester, Normandy. She had been in the book game for many years, published hundreds of authors throughout Los Angeles and other different states. I went to her because I had been hearing about her, and I went hollered at Dr. Milligan and Rosie Milligan. She just pretty much gave me a little bit of it. She ain't going to give it to you all of it at one time, and I respected it.
Right.
She gave me a little bit of information, and but I got lucky. I got blessed, and I've been blessed through the whole book game. I've just been blessed in life through life, period. I look at it. Even when it's bad, I feel it's a blessing, as long as I live through it. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
But I ended up, she went out of state, and she gave me some information, and I kept trying to get back with her, but she wasn't, you know, I was eager to get the book wrote. I was eager to get my copies back and stuff like that just to get to the next level, because I had the manuscript. I went through the process of typing it, you know, got it all typed up where I figured, so I want to get it printed. I want to be a book, you know, got the ISBN numbers. I got the copyrights, everything. It was all squared away. You know, I went from, you know, I done the, what they call, you got to take it from, you know, because if you just got on a regular piece of paper, that ain't going to work. You got to take that and put it into the book form to where it breaks all the way down. So, man,
right.
it was just hell, man. I didn't know nothing how to do none of this shit, man. So, you know, I ended up figuring it out. By the time I got to Dr. Milligan, you know, she hit me with a printer by accident, because really she was charging me a service. You know, I was going to her because it's a service she does. She charged people. So once she ended up giving me the information, because she was out of state, so I ended up getting with the printer directly. Went to Orange County, got with them, and, man, I saved a bunch of money. I was actually finna go through this one company called Exibria, and that's like
right.
Like, you might see these printing companies on TV. They might say, oh, if you want to get your book printed, well, we'll do this, yada, 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 yada. I would never buy for none of that, because, you know, they ain't going to give it to you. They really just want to print your book and charge you up a whole bunch of money once they got your book printed already. So once I got past all that through Dr. Milligan, I went straight to the printer, and I saved, like, thousands of dollars getting it printed. So I was able to print the books up pennies on a dollar, and I just started selling them. And, you know, that's pretty much how I got in the book business right there.
Right, right.
Yeah.
That sounds like a grind and a struggle and a process, you know. So.
Oh, man, it's still a grind. It still ain't over. But, you know, you just got to keep going, man. When you believe in something, you just got to keep at it, man. You know, chase your dream, man.
That part. Hey,
I never hear Nicki Minaj say that. Chase your dream. Every time, you know, I might get tired, don't want to. These movements, I say, man, I'm thinking about Nicki Minaj. I'm talking about chasing dream. I look at all the bread she got. Success, not only bread, you know. I say, I definitely got to adhere to that. But yeah.
Right, right. That's a fact. We'll turn it over to Marcy for a minute. She may have a few questions. Cousin Marcy.
Yeah, I'm here. Thank you so much, Zizou. Mr. Jace, thanks so much for coming on and being with us tonight. Appreciate you. Great to learn about another great author out there. I just have a couple of questions for you. Your name is very distinctive. I did see that. I wanted to know if you knew who you shared your name with, and if you had to go through any explanation, like growing up, like when you have a certain kind of name, you know, people, where did that come from?
Man, everybody asked me about my name over and over.
Right.
I hated my name. Yeah. Nayeri, yeah, I really hated my name as a kid, I swear.
Oh,
they couldn't pronounce it. I would have to pronounce
right.
it 5 or 6 times, and it was just like people, that was something I dreaded when people asked me, like when I first met somebody, that's one of the things I had to get over after a while, like, I know they're going to ask me my name. We got to talk about my name. And then when they ask me
right,
my name,
right.
I got to explain it. There's not have, it's, I can, it's probably like 1% or 2% of people that actually got my name right when I first tell it to them as a kid. But people
right.
are starting to hear it more now, so yeah, it's all good.
Oh, okay. Wonderful, wonderful. Well, you know you share it with royalty, so that's why I said, oh, okay, beautiful. And then
that's
my
nice
other
name.
Question.
I love it now.
Was,
I love it.
Yeah, it's a permanent name.
I
see
my
that.
Name. Absolutely,
yeah,
I love.
He's
gonna get stuck with that. He's gonna be stuck with it now. Yeah, I got stuck. He's stuck now.
No, that's
yeah.
beautiful. That's beautiful. I'm named after my grandmother with a very unique name. So just applause because yeah, it's better to be, I think, authentic and kind of where somebody else doesn't have it, other than you know maybe a parent or something like that. So kudos to you all. And my next question, I wanted to ask you since it on your biography. You grew up in South Central, which could not be easy. I'm not going to say that for anyone. But would you consider yourself like a bookworm kind of when growing up? Because to be able to write a book, I always thought that, you know, you were a reader, you know, just like an avid reader. Or were you not? Did you just kind of jump right
actually,
on in there?
To the contrary. Yes, to the contrary. When I grew up, I really struggled with, you know, academics and stuff. I couldn't even read that good, to be honest. So, yeah, I ended up adapting that later on in prison, just reading and writing and, you know, not want to be too damn far behind in life, period, even though I missed a lot of stuff. And, you know, you'd think that I would have known better because I was raised in a good family, mother, father. It was just so many of them, I guess it just kind of slipped through, you know, when it came to me, my academics. But I was always, I never was really good. I didn't really like school that much.
Yeah. Yeah.
But
yeah,
I love
I
it
that.
Now.
That's
love.
Right.
That's a tip. Like you hate stuff as a young when you're young, but you love it so much when you're older, you'd be like, damn, what the hell? Or yeah, I think it's that's why these old people be tripping so much because they when they go through all the bullshit, like they be finally get through and they'd be like, if y'all could just see the light, but see, I don't be on that level. I'd be like, you know, hey, you gotta go through your own journey. You gotta see it for yourself. But I'll give you a little I'll take a little bit of advice, but you gotta learn on your own.
Right, right. I see the book is it's a series as well. It just goes on and on. And I also saw that you actually have laid out pretty much your production plan and who you would like to have play specific parts and all kind of things like that. Who would you like to feature on your soundtrack for your show when this actually gets produced? I'm just going to put that out there, and then I'll leave the answer to the floor.
Oh, who would I like to, as far as the music is concerned?
Right.
I would go with some of my little partners in my neighborhood, Tiny Bo.
Tiny Bo?
I'd probably go with Tiny. Huh?
That's my guy, Tiny Bo. That's my guy.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I interviewed him before.
Did you? That's good, man.
Yeah.
He's shy, but his ass, hey, once I blow, he's going to be going with me. Because, you know what, I need his music because everything, all this shit is connected with music. So I need him. I know he got skills. But, yeah, Tiny Bo would definitely, I would ride with him. But are you talking about somebody famous already? Is that who you're referring to?
No, whoever.
I'm definitely going to keep it. Yeah, I'm definitely going to keep it local and community. I would go with Tiny Bo. I would go with, you know, everybody that rap with us, basically. Blue Down, I would go with Bay Putin on a rap. I'll bring him up by retirement too. But as far as people that are famous, man, I really want to go with Scarface, man. You know, because Scarface is deep, man. He's very lyrical. I think he's underrated, kind of like how I am in the book business. You know what I'm saying? I think Scarface, even though we all know who he is, and people know I am as well, but Scarface, man, you know, he got some cold lyrics to me, man. When it comes to the subject that I'm on,
right,
you know, he would be one, definitely.
Wow, thank you.
Yeah.
Hey,
I like the Baby and them too. Though I mean, I like some of the young rappers too. Though I like the Baby. I like Boosie. You know, I like King Von. You know, from Chicago to all the shit happening with him.
Oh,
you know,
yeah, King Von
they
is
having
good.
So much, man, he was flowing, man. They had so much going on in Youngstown, man, that rap game. They going harder than we did when we was banging out there. I was looking at some of their stuff just recently. I'm like, man.
Make you want to write a book. Yeah, they got so much they can write a book on them. Yeah,
they can write a book. Every goddamn thing. They be putting too much stuff on the head. But yeah.
Hey, I wanted to ask you, speaking of like your name is so unique, and first, like you said, I know probably you hated your name growing up, but a lot of the greats, I noticed a lot of our great ones, you know what I mean, whether here or gone, mm-hmm. had unique names as well, you know what I mean? So that's a blessing too in disguise. But I want to ask you, like with your name, what is the background like of your family? Is your family
we was born and raised
okay.
in the Nation of Islam.
Okay.
So I was definitely Muslim ties.
Right.
I did fall off when I at a younger age of it, but yeah. I still keep that some of the same habits as far as I like to stay real close to the eating habits, which are really good.
Did you just go through the fast now? I know it just ended yesterday or the day.
I didn't. I didn't fast this time, though, but I do fast sometimes. But as far as, I don't eat pork and, a lot of stuff that they don't eat as, the regular people I couldn't understand. I kind of, like lima beans, pinto beans. I just never really got a whole lot of that stuff. Shrimp, oysters. I don't really eat none of that. I never ate none of that stuff. I just feel like I'm allergic to it at this point, But, yeah, I heard it's good eating, though. Shrimps and stuff.
Right. Hey, tell me about the series. I know, you're turning the book into a series, like we just spoke on. How was that coming along? And how do you go from books to making a series, video or TV or whatever? How do you go to that part? And how does all that come together?
Well, what made me want to write a series, what made me want to get into the film business is basically because, books is, it's just pretty much, people don't read books as much as they like to just watch stuff because,
right.
just moving forward with time pretty much, just kind of like what went along with time. And the reason I decided to go with a series is based on the fact that it's three books worth of writing. So, why not keep it going when it comes to the filming? It's years of material. It's a great story that's very moving. It, it's a lot of good information in there. It's a lot of history in there. I just decided to go with filming because it was just like, my message needed to be out there more, man. I feel that my message should be, what I'm
right.
saying? So, yeah, that's pretty much.
Just like how we talked earlier, and you said you thought that this was going to be video. I was explaining this is going to be radio, but we can do the video too. So I understand because you're like,
I can't believe it. I'm going to talk to you. I'm going to chew you out offline about that, babe, folks. I knew it when you first said it, though. I know what the root cause of it was because, like I told you, we just went to this and bam. But anyway, we're going to get it right, though, man. But it's still the present, though, man. It's still all good, the way I look at it, man, I'm like, I heard Cat Williams said before. He was like, man, if I'm talking to one person or 10,000 or 100,000, I still treat it the same, man. And crazy as Cat Williams is, man, he's definitely successful within what he do. I hung out with him a couple of times, too. He was actually at a book signing I gave him. He pulled up. Suge Knight pulled up. And who else? There was a few other comedians there. But, it ain't like I invited them there. They just so happened to be there. It was at
they were hanging
downtown.
Tough at one time.
Huh?
I said, yeah, they were hanging tough at one time.
Yeah, that was his manager, man. That was his manager, old Cat Williams, man. Him and Suge Knight, man. It was so crazy, and man, it was a trip. He hung out for like 2 hours, man. It was cool, man. He hung out for 2 hours, so with us. We had actually had a book tour of L.A., man. We done like five different events. I'm actually going to redo it again. I'm actually lining it up to do five more different events within a month in L.A., like book signings, radio shows, and stuff like that, because it's all about keeping the drum beat. I got to stay beating on the drum,
Wow.
But, yeah, man, Cat Williams, man, that dude. I'm going to tell you a funny story about that night. We was there, and He was like, he had a big old ass suitcase, like a big old Louis Vuitton ass suitcase, right? And he was already clowning before the end of the night. But at the end of the night, he was getting ready to leave, and I seen him. I went and hollered at him. I was like, "Cat, what's up, man? Let me holler at you real quick." He was like, I was like, "What's up, man?" I was just talking to him real quick, and I'm like, he was just acting like real weird. But so he was acting cool, but he was acting weird too. Like you can tell, you know, I don't know, he was just acting real weird but cool, going off right. And on. And then he ended up, he opened the trunk that he had, and he had like a big ass burner, but like a long as, but it was, what was so cold about it, the barrel was like long as hell. It was like an extra long ass barrel. And he opened it, he closed it, and before he closed, I threw my book inside of it. You know, said before he closed, I wanted to ever read my book, man. It's a trip. I always think about that moment. Him and Shug was together that night. Yeah.
Right, right.
That's my Cat Williams moment.
Okay, shout out to Cat. Also, I see the phone lines is lit up. Anyone out there you want to speak, press 1. We'll open the phone lines up. You want to ask any questions, also call in 914-803-4001. You want to holler at the homie about anything. Speaking of, okay, I see. Hold on 1 second, Carl. Let me ask this question. Speaking of TV series, I want to ask who are you inspired by, if any, like directors or certain shows or whatever. And then I want to ask you, what did you think about the recent effect show that just went off, Snowfall?
Okay. You finna go to a call, or are you asking me the question right now?
I just want to ask you the question right quick, and then I'm going to go to the call.
Okay, I was just curious. I'm just like that. Okay. yeah, basically, what inspired me was John Singleton, man. You know, I was really inspired by his story. You know, how he grew up in, you know, neighborhood, stuff like that, ghetto, you know, from L.A. Right. And done his thing. So him, Denzel as an actor, and, yeah, man, you know, that's you know, a couple of people that inspire me, especially Denzel, by him being a director as well now, you know, so Training Day,
right.
And all, you know, those are always some of my favorite, you know, films and stuff like that. But, yeah, that's pretty much what that was. And other question was, what was it? Again, I forgot. My bad.
What you think about, speaking of TV series, since you want to take your thing to TV.
Oh, Snowfall.
I was asking what you think about Snowfall. Just went off the season finale.
I slept on Snowfall. I ain't gonna lie, man. I didn't watch but the first 2 sessions, but I'm not really a big TV guy or movie guy, man. For some reason, it's crazy. It's crazy as it sounds, me writing books and doing all this stuff. Man, I just never really read a lot of books or be into a lot of other people's material, which I need to be, but I kind of like do it on purpose to stay original with my material.
I get that. You be original, but you still got to know what's going on, too, though. You feel me? You
exactly.
Got to be aware. That's all, you know.
Absolutely correct. But the first 2 episodes I watched was really good. The Snowfall, that was tight. But so shit, what happened? How did it end? Hell,
I would say it was incredible.
It was incredible.
Yeah,
okay,
last episode. Right, last night. It was incredible
it was,
though.
Was,
I was surprised people were watching.
But you know what? When I first seen it, it reminded me of the Freeway Rick story, which they say it was based on,
yeah, I heard all that, and you know, Freeway Rick was mad at him. It was, yeah, we heard all of that. That's and if you watch it, you can see that. You know what I mean? So I don't know what happened.
Exactly.
With him
when I first seen it, I thought about Rick off the top. You know what I'm saying? I thought about it.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And I'm like,
yeah.
I'm like, damn, man. And then when I seen him, you know, I didn't really get into that
right.
conversation, but I was just like.
I get it, but look, politics aside, I heard all that shit too, and I felt for Rick. But politics aside, that shit was still dope, though. So I'd advise
it was good.
People just, yeah,
the
it
first
was still
was good.
I agree with Rick and all that. I agree with Rick. But politics aside, the shit was still dope. And it was just a good L.A.-based show, man, which I love to see authentic, you know, because a lot of shit be so Hollywood. You love to see a real good show when it comes talking about L.A., and it was good, you know. So I just give
right.
props to that, and rest in peace to John Singleton. But let's take a caller, man.
Okay. Let's take a caller.
Caller,
right.
Hello. 310, hello.
Hey, how you doing? My name is Lingo. Lingo
what
Bay.
Up, Lingo?
Hey.
Hey, nice to meet you, man. You got a dope podcast right here. It's a dope show.
Thank
Lingo,
you, sir.
Lingo, what's up, boy? That's my little partner right there, man. Oh, all right, you're right. Damn, I forgot to mention Lingo. We're going to put Lingo on my soundtrack, too. There, you're right. Hey, Lingo, my bad, homie. You know what it is.
Thanks for your Lingo.
It's the weed. But, yeah, Lingo definitely going to be on the soundtrack, too, though.
I had I got a question, but I want to chime in on the question he just asked you since I did watch Snowfall and I have read some of your books. You feel me?
Go ahead, bro.
I think that probably an unpopular opinion, it could potentially be, you know, an icebreaker or something that people wasn't thinking of before, but I think it was dope in showing, or should I say exploiting, the emasculation that that mothers cause their sons to go through in situations that they cannot control.
Right. Speak on it.
She could not save him. He told her that. There was nothing that she could do to save him. And even though, you know, the whole the narrative is that whatever it is that she is going to do or that she does is to save him and, you know, to be, you know, do things the right way. Like, nah, you took the lead out of his hands. Out of the man's hands who've been having a plan the whole time, and you did what you wanted to do. You emasculated him in that situation. And it had rectifying, what's the word I'm looking for? Consequences, absolutely.
Oh, so his mama got him caught up, sound like it, huh?
Mama buried the shovel.
You got to watch it.
I'm gonna check Snowfall out, man, because I really need to see that, man. You're absolutely correct.
Man, I was telling you, remember we watched.
And I
want to
see
those.
I said I'm the one that showed him them
two episodes.
I want to see the 150 Cent guy too. Power. I want to see Power.
Dope.
I've seen a couple episodes of that too, man.
All the 50 shit is dope.
And the only time I seen this shit was Locked Up, man, when I was in prison, man. That's crazy. Sometimes you got to stop and smell the roses, man. But, correct.
Was it Lingo?
So for the author, for Nayeri, I was wondering if you had a copy of your book, Can't Get Enough, like, handy, if you could read, like, the first page or the first two pages.
I can't get enough?
Because my girl, it's the only one I ain't read, and my girl keeps telling me that it just starts off crazy.
Yeah, it is crazy, man. It's well, you know what? Let me see, man. Cause I kind of we can't get enough. There's so much drama and can't get enough. I kind of want people to go in there and get it on their own, right? But
that's what it got me buzzing, and I ain't even read it.
It might be on Amazon when you go to the book.
It is on Amazon.
They have the first. First 35 to 40 pages.
Right. Yeah, they set it up.
Yeah, it gets the first 13 pages. If you go to Amazon.com, Gangsta Jake, and then type in the title
Stacey.
You want.
It says, shit, Stacey, damn, you got some bomb-ass head, girl. Yeah, wait, can we curse on this show?
Forget the algorithm. We're wilding out.
I just thought, hey,
go ahead, bro. Go ahead. Go ahead, homie.
Let me, I can move a little bit further, man. I can
go ahead, bro.
Let me see.
You're good.
Just like that, harder now. Do it harder and faster. I'm about to come. Jim Jones from the Denver Broncos told the 22-year-old. And Stacey bobbed and read. Man, I feel funny even reading this, man. Y'all going to cry in a minute, but I wrote it. Me and my ex put it together, but, hey, we did it. Okay. I'm about to come. Jim Jones from the Denver Broncos told the 22-year-old Stacey. And Stacey bobbed and weed her head up and down his shaft. All this was occurring as she sat in the passenger seat of his all-black-on-black Range Rover with the all-black rims. Stacey was fine as wine, light skin, green eyes, with a big booty and firm breast to accommodate the compliment, the beauty. The giant size smile attached to Jim Jones' face moments after getting Stacey off let Stacey know that he had pleased that she had pleased another happy customer. Subsequent to collecting the $300, Stacy hopped into the SUV and into a shiny red rental car. As Stacy entered the 110, her cell phone began to ring. It was LaShonda, Stacy's best friend since fifth grade. LaShonda did not fully approve of her best friend's livelihood, which caused her to always keep tabs on her. Not one single day would go by without the two hearing from one another. They were tighter than the skin on an Idaho potato, right? LaShonda was a dark-skinned cutie who stood around 5'6" inches. She possessed a slim face and nice round butt cheeks. LaShonda would normally wear a 22-inch weave, but happened to be rocking individual braids tied up in a ponytail. "Bitch, what are you doing?" she asked Stacy in a playful manner. "You know me, either I'm leaving from or going to get my money. Right about now, I'm leaving from getting it. You know I have to keep 100 with my girl. What's up with you, Shay Shay Boo? I see you just can't get enough. Did the nigga know what was up with you? No, and why should he, bitch? What difference does it make?" Stacy lips snapped, displaying an attitude. "Oh, my God, are you serious? I know I need to stop telling you all my business. That way we won't be engaged in these type of conversations. You make me sick with all that sometimes. Whatever, bitch. Who else are you going to tell your most intimate secrets to? Your brothers?" LaShonda chuckled. "Girl, don't even mention those sorry-ass niggas. All they ever do is hate on me for doing me. Please don't bring them two haters up in our conversation." Stacy was a third born of a trio of triplets. Her two brothers' names were Tom and Jerry. They were all identical twins at birth. However, by the time Stacy reached the age of 22, she hated her two brothers and their looks so bad that she decided to enhance it with plastic surgery. Months of hard hustling as a prostitute allowed Stacy to turn her flat chest into a size 38 B's, and she did not stop there. Not only did she enhance her breasts, but her butt and lips as well. "So, Stacy, what are you about to get into?" LaShonda asked. She played with one of her braids. She then looked at a photo of her boyfriend, Smurf, the one inside of a big picture frame resting on her wall. "I'm about to get my weave. Wait, I'm about to get my weave put in, and after that, I have a date with a friend." "A friend? Yes, girl. A friend, one that you get to really know, that is paying you for you know what. How long have you known him, and what is his name, Stacy?" "I've been knowing him for about a week, and his name is Carl." "That's mighty strange that you never mentioned him to me. Does Carl have a last name?" "He does, but I'm not about to tell you, so you can Google his name and put him on the full LaShonda investigation, right?" "Whatever, bitch. You heard enough of it, or you want to hear a little bit more?"
That's good.
Man, that just sounds modern. That just sounds like my sister's arguing.
Cut it
off with him getting some head. No wonder she took the book out of my house. Oh, yeah.
That can be found on Amazon.com. Can't get enough.
Amazon.com.
Click on the link to go ahead and get in there.
Matter of fact, look, I read a little bit of that, so I got to read a little bit of the next character. So let me go just a half page more. All right. That was Stacy and LaShonda. They best friends or whatever. You know what I'm saying? They got a whole lot going on. This is Tom and Jerry, which they don't get along with Stacy for nothing because of the way Stacy chooses to live Stacy's life. So they constantly bashing Stacy. They going at it all the time. "Don't nobody fucking move" was the first command Tom yelled out as he swiftly entered the front door of Bling Bling Jerry, located in the heart of downtown Los Angeles. Jerry was his first cousin. Breeze was on Tom's heel. Both held sledgehammers in one hand and an empty pillowcase in the other. The three were on a mission to bash out as many jury cases as possible and get away with the jury within. Tom and Jerry were like day and night compared to Stacy. Ever since their mother and father died in an accident 5 years prior, the two and even Stacy had been off the chain. Robbing is what Tom and Jerry were good at doing. They would normally only rob places like convenience stores and gas stations. However, after realizing that they would end up doing the same time if they were to get caught up robbing a gas station as opposed to a bigger target, they decided to step their game up. As Jerry and Breeze put hammer to glass the jury's case with all their mites. The two customers inside the store went berserk. All three had on masks, gloves, and long sleeve shirts, which made it easy, made it impossible for them to be identified. It was on and literally cracking. Everyone inside the store was scared shitless, including the robbers. Within a split second, things could turn ugly. The police could pop up on the scene. A vicious shootout could occur, Tom thought to himself as he held the MAC-10 in his hand, finger on trigger, safety all ready to bust. Both Jerry and Bree's heart were pumping a mile a second as they loaded their pillowcases up with as many pieces of jewelry as they possibly could. They had over 20 Rolex watches, a couple of hundred diamond rings, and several hundred gold chains, including tennis bracelets. The pillowcases Jerry and Breeze were stuffing were starting to look like baby sumo wrestlers. When Tom yelled out 1 minute remaining, the two picked up their pace. This thing was happening so fast. Without any remorse, Tom ran over to a young white woman and grabbed the two wedding rings out of her hand, the ones she was about to pick up for a wedding ceremony. "Bitch, give me these damn rings. Fuck your wedding," was the first word Tom spoke out inside the store before he and the crew made their exit out of the door. Their getaway driver waited in a white van in the rear of the store. His name was PK, and he was also the rest of the crew's cousin. PK's job consisted of getting them away from the scene of the crime over to the next getaway car. Just in case it got funky, he was strapped up with an AK-47 assault rifle. I'm going to leave it right there. This thing is off the chain, man. You just got to go get a barber, man.
Just
damn, the twin brothers is robbing shit.
Man, there's so much going on. Just like the Gangsta J series, you already know, man. I don't play when it comes to this race, man. But
I see you.
So Nairi, are all these books fictional or non-fictional? What are all these books? Are they how
all
do they differ?
All of them are definitely fictional.
Okay.
Theory of the imagination. Okay. Figment of the imagination. My bad.
and since they're all fictional, do you plan on writing any non-fictional books or maybe even an autobiography?
Well, actually, I wrote an autobiography. I'm in the process of actually publishing that book right there, and it's based on my whole life, you know, me in and out, state, federal custody, you know, gang banging on the east side of Los Angeles, everything, man. It's just, you know, it's an open book, pretty much.
Right.
So, yeah, I'm definitely in the process of writing that book, and it's called Hindsight Is 2020.
Mm.
So, absolutely. Mm. You're right on point with that.
Dope. Mr. Lingo, you got any more for the homie?
Yeah, I got one more question.
Go ahead, bro.
All right, if you could pick like a top three top five female leading actresses for those two characters that you were just reading about inside the book, like what five would you choose?
Oh, the one I just read or the Gangsta J series?
The one you just read, Can't Get Enough, because you had two female characters in it when you ended off.
I didn't have two female characters when I ended off. But if I had two female characters, you mean celebrities right now?
Yeah.
Someone that we all know?
Damn.
I would probably, I like Keke Palmer, man. You know she's pregnant right now. Yeah, I like Keke Palmer because I describe her hair. You know
she
likes
to
watch the braids. Oh, did she? Oh, so she might be available. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, I like Keke Palmer, and I like Shantae a little old for this.
You said Keke Palmer, dang. Hoy Leray and Keke Palmer would be a cold tandem.
I like the way she at.
Yeah, I like Paula
Ray,
too.
As far as the marketing boat, I wouldn't mind having Nancy White.
Paula Ray look like she a gangster, homie. I like Paula Ray.
Paula Ray?
Yeah.
Paula Ray should be Stacy.
Yeah. Who is she? Oh, is that right?
Oh, yeah, on everything. That'd
the
be
first
a good
one
safety.
You talked about. Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay. But y'all must okay.
And then Keke Palmer be the one that's telling all her business.
Her best friend.
Yeah.
That's no. So I like something to work on. But yeah, definitely. You know, I'm gonna be working on a movie for that book that I just put out right there. Because when it comes to the TV series, it's gonna be more of a haul. It's gonna be more of a long run project. But as far as you know, I know there's a lot of different movies, or I may even do that as like a stage play. I've been talking to a couple of people in the business, and we have been talking about you know, kind of how they. Like back in the day, they done Good Time Jefferson, like a live studio audience. They're actually getting back into this type of stuff in the filming business and stuff like that. So, you know, because everybody wants to see things, you know, right there, fast, you know what I'm saying? So, yeah, that's what I'm working on with the Can't Get Enough series.
Live studio audience. Wow. Okay.
Yeah, live studio audience, man. You know, you got to get it right. You got to get the roles right. You know, we can't be bullshitting around there with the script and playing around farming money. You got to remember these lines. Like, you know what I'm saying? Because,
right.
You know, when it comes to filming, man, you know, it's a tough job, man. You know, the actors, they got a hell of a job, man. You know, when I shot we actually shot a trailer for this Gangsta Jake series. And although I'm working on my website, you guys can go to jaysproduction.com and check out that trailer. This is the first time I actually released that on the show right here, just to let y'all know.
Okay.
You can go check that trailer out. Look up in there. You know, we actually looking for investors, man. I'm trying to find an executive producer, man. To be honest, keep it 100. Somebody with a bag, you know, that can come in, step in, and just make this thing right, make it real reality. Because as I mentioned, the Gangsta Jake story, it's a hell of a story, man. It's just to give you an elevated pitch about it. Gangsta Jake, the Peace Treaty series. It's basically about a hardcore gangbanger named Gangsta Jake, who declared a national peace treaty among the Bloods and Crips. And that peace treaty, it entailed consequences of death for those who chose to go against it. You know what I'm saying? So that's just to let you know, that's what the Gangsta Jake series is about, man. Gangsta Jake, his method was a little bit wilder than the regular person.
And that's jaysproductions.com, Mr. Jace? Jaysproductions.com?
Yes, ma'am. Yes, man, you got me sounding like an old man. How old are you? About 13 or 15 or something? Mr.
I'm old enough to read your books. It reminded me of two of my favorites,
right,
Donald Goin and Iceberg Slim.
Okay. I'm just being facetious with you. But, yeah, definitely, you can go to
jaysproductions.com for the video.
Yep. Nairi Jace, you know, my official website. I'm working on a few kinks, you know. This how the independent is. Independent business, man. It's like, you know, it's like what they call, y'all seen the movie Dolomite, man. When they put Dolomite movie out, yeah. Everybody, yeah. But you got to keep knocking at the door. You got to continue on with the process. Never give up on it, man. But definitely, before it's over, y'all going to see a great series out there.
Speaking of the Peace Treaty book, would you be willing to work with any, since there is a resurgence in all of the, you know, like you were mentioning before, like the snowfalls and things like that, we know that they were telling a fictional tale of stuff we all know went on. Things that are found in your literature, I'm sure, can also be kind of reflected off the things that are fictional, but we know it truly went on, you know, in some way, shape, or form.
Absolutely.
Would you be interested in kind of working with the youth or going back to the prison system or the California Correctional Facilities to kind of, you know, like talk to the inmates or, you know, get your literature out there for whoever's interested to do kind of workshops and things that they used to kind of do late 70s, early 80s when gangbanging first, you know, kind of took that, you know, but it took that scene when everything was
right.
About that back then. They had your parking lot preachers and stuff like that.
Right.
Would you be interested in doing that?
By all means, I would definitely be interested in reaching out to the youth and going to talk to them about, you know, different programs of redemption and stuff like that. Absolutely. Because, I mean, you know, I went to the system, and, you know, when I was in the system, you know, any opportunity to get up out of the regular, the norm, and go sit and holler at some people as a juvenile or as an adult, well, I took advantage of them programs. But, yeah, I would definitely be interested in that.
Right. Yeah. That's what they need more of that, too.
You
got to
give
so
back.
Much.
You know, it's all about giving back. You know what I'm saying? You got to give back.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Agreed.
Yeah. That's what's up. Mr. Pingo, you got any more questions for the homie? I'm going to take a quick break in a minute, but I want to see if the homie...
I appreciate y'all for, you know, for the time to express my opinion. My name is Lingo Bay. You can check me out on all streaming platforms. I got a new EP called Late Arrival, radio edited. Y'all have a wonderful night.
Thank you, Lingo.
All right, good night for you, man. Take
care of
yourself.
Don't be a stranger. Yeah. Come back to us on Fridays.
I bet. I'm putting it in my calendar.
All righty. Peace.
All right. God bless you, youngster.
Much love, homie.
Yeah.
Shut up.
Yeah, Lingo. Man. It's all about connecting, yeah. You know, connecting these dots, man. You know, working on the stream, working on, you know, things that I got, you know, in the pipeline because, it's a bigger mission out here, man. For me, it's
right.
I've done a lot of crazy shit in the past. You know, as far as coming up, and I contributed a lot to this gangbanging bullshit, man. And you know, I want to make a difference, man. Because the way I look at it, man, it started in not necessarily my generation, but I mean generations close to me. So it's like, you know, we help perpetuate this thing, and it's like, man, it when you really look at it, man, nobody wins in this shit, man, but the people that's covering it in the media, the people that's, you know, strange behind the scenes, somebody, but we ain't winning in it. People get to killing each other and shit. So although Gangsta Jake is real, it's real hardcore, man. His remedy in terms of stopping the war, man, is very, very hardcore, but you know, he figured that the war had been going on for this long, we might as well do it quick and get it over with. The hell, if they dropped an atomic bomb on Hiroshima, America done that, killed 107,000, you know, we can do that fast, get it over with, and they peace and happiness thereafter. Let's do it. Because the way I look at it, where is the thereafter? When do we get to the thereafter? You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, whatever it is, like right now, like I just mentioned, they dropped a bomb over there, but shit, you got them people hanging out in America right now. They chilling. Ain't nobody trying to bomb a war run up to them. You know what I'm saying? Right. So people can get past wars.
Yep.
This war over here has been happening over 50 years. So it's like after 50 plus years, man, come on now. We need to come to some type of conclusion. But we all really family. You know what I'm saying? So, yeah. That's pretty much what my take on that is. Just to give you a little more of that. You know, there is a message to the madness, which is what my promotion
reading is fundamental. Yes. Get over there to jaceproductions.com or amazon.com and get your copies of our featured guest today, Mr. Nairi Jace, Peace Treaty 2017. Former Avalon.
You can check me out on Amazon as well. Barnes & Noble and Amazon as well.
That's right.
Hey, check it out. We're going to take a quick break. Go get you, everyone, go get you a drink or whatever you want to do. Use the bathroom, whatever you're going to do, and come right back. And also, the phone lines are open, 914-803-4001. Press 1 if you want to speak. We'll be back in a flash with Mr. Jace. G. Lou, Cousin Marcy.
Good deal.
Sound set tonight. We're not through. I'm gonna drop a new song. I'm rebellious, cause I don't accept everything this is telling us. What are you selling us? The creator's dwelling us. I'm sitting your unknown past while you're failing us. I failed to clap your fighting with your reason. You're trying to make me you by ceasing. Fuck my mind with CJ Run. See John Rock in a hardcore New York. Come on now, it's like a chocolate cow. It doesn't exist, no way, no how. It seems to me that in the foolish ebony, African history should be put up steadily, but it's not. And this has got to stop. See spot, run, run, get spot. Insulting to a black mentality, a black way of life or a jet black family. So I include but one concern that you must learn.
Yo, Chris. Whoa. Hold up, see. Hold up, see. We're gonna see if they're really ready.
History, deal with straight up facts, no mystery. Teach the student what needs to be taught. Cause black and white can both take short. When one doesn't know about the other with culture, ignorance boots down like a vulture. Cause you don't know that you ain't just a janitor. No one told you about Benjamin Banneker, a brilliant black man that invented the almanac. Can't you see what KRS is coming at? With Eli Whitney, Holly Selassie, Granville Woods made the walkie-talkie. Louis Vladimir improved on Edison. Charles Drew did a lot for medicine. Garrett Morgan made traffic lights. Harriet Tubman sees the blaze at night. Madam CJ Walker made the straightening comb. But you won't know this if you weren't shown. The point I'm getting at, it might be hard, is we're just walking around brainwashed. See what I'm saying? It's not to diss a man. We need the 89 school system. One that caters to a black return, because you must learn.
What up, cameraman? It's a ragamuffin stuff yet, man.
Akivu Lan is the original name of Africa, now stripped of its fame. It's good to know that in ancient times, Egyptians developed all sciences of the mind, to the point where they ruled the planet. But Rome, Greece, and Persia wasn't having it. They attacked and won the war, but it wasn't enough. They had to get to the core, cause in that time it was Akivu Lan that moved religion, politics, and man. In order to destroy the Egyptian race, they had to wipe the sciences from off the face of the planet. So they proceeded to banish them and replace it with Christianity. And it's been that way all the way to today. Learn what we teach, hear what we say. But here comes the kinder of the S, the O, the N, the E, the B, the P, and we rhyme intelligently. Let me continue with Theodosius, a Greek ruler not known to most of us. He, in the 4th century A.D., proved the Egyptians fools, you see. 2 years later, Justinian ruled. 6 A.D., ignorance had swirled over Christian Europe and Greco-Roman world. This went on for 1,000 years of ignorance, stupidity, and fear. Now comes the 17th century hardness. Europe began to come out of its darkness. So Johann F. Blumenbach, a German, came out of nowhere and started confirming white supremacy and men of color. Before this time, all men were brothers. It was Johann who went on to say, there are 5 different colors in the world today. That's Caucasian, Malayan, and Mongolian, American, Indian, and Ethiopian. Yet, the ignorance gets scarier. He believed whites were superior. According to his idiotic fountain, the purest whites were from the Caucasus Mountains. J.A. Governor and H.S. Chamberlain both supported this outrageous racism. This went on to what the master race should be, and why they killed the Jews in Germany. Here is the reason why I'm so concerned, because you must learn.
We're not done. We're not done. We're not done. Check this out.
Yo, we're not done. G-Lou, Cousin Marcy, we are back. Cuz, oh, we're back.
We are back.
JaceProductions.com. Okay. If you haven't tapped in yet, go right now, JaceProductions.com. Hey, Nairi, I want to ask you, out of all the books you've written, what is your favorite book, personally, if you have one?
My favorite book would be Gangster Jake. The End Result of a Snitch.
But any particular one? Because I know you got a, there's like a
the first
few
one.
Different. Oh, the first one. Okay.
The first one is called the Emmy Golden Snitch.
Oh, okay, okay,
yeah,
okay.
When you first start off, it's like you'd be more into it. And
right.
I think I like that one better. The drama is, you know, everybody loved it more. Not just me, everybody liked it more, you know. But yeah.
Can I cut in? I did have a question regarding a snitch.
Mm-hmm. Go ahead, Marcy.
How does your books parallel to what we see in today's time in the media regarding snitching and just what we see every day, this online telling and things that are happening after the fact? Would any of this go on in your books?
Well, not really, because when I wrote this book, it was like I wrote this book over 15 years ago. And it's a different era of snitches, it seemed like. It was the people I gave Southside in the book from the beginning end up being snitches. What the snitches then, yeah. And the turn of snitches later to where second and third book, I'm like, yeah, fuck y'all, yeah, yeah,
okay.
Yeah, fuck you, whatever. So yeah, the correlation is it's a difference. It's not really correlating, actually, to the contrary. I don't know if I answered the question correctly, but that's the way I got
no,
it.
No, you did. There's no correct or incorrect. I was looking at Gangsta Jake.
Right.
Path of Terror. Wow.
Path of Terror was
okay.
Second. That was part two. That was, I really liked that book too, though, man. You didn't have me admit one of my kids better than another one. I hate how you said it. Because I really love them all, though. They all bomb.
Mm-hmm.
But that first one was just something about that one that got me started with it, you know. But I really like this the one that I'm writing now, the Hindsight of 2020. That one right there is really great. Actually, I wrote part two to Can't Get Enough, and I ended up losing the whole book, man, but I didn't have a copy. So I'm trying to figure out if I want to rewrite that one. That was tough. And that one right there was really cold. It was cold where I ended it. So I probably will finish it, but you know, it was really discouraging to lose a damn book.
Right.
But yeah, it was some poop shit accident. You know, it'd be, man, it's like still, you know, it was crazy. It just happened crazy.
Hey, I got a question.
Oh, I'm sorry, Jesus. Go ahead.
No, go ahead, Marcy.
You go. Okay, no, it was a nerdy question. I want to know if you do all your writing through typing, keyboard, laptop, or do you ever record yourself after losing that book?
Good question. I never record myself. I try to do that, but it's just like I'm so used to just writing it. That makes it a lot easier just to write it down. But, I mean, now with the technology that's going on right now, like if I write something, I will take a picture of it and try to, you know, put it up and save it somewhere. You know, even if I send it to myself in an email or something, you know, I learned the value of lesson from losing shit.
Right.
Where I ain't going to let that happen again. So if I write a page, I'm going to save it and put it somewhere where besides in one place.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, makes sense. Thank you.
But that was a good question, sweetheart.
Yeah, that was great. That's Cousin Marcy, man. That's why I got it. But check it out. My question was similar to hers. Like, with the writing, because I heard you, I was going to ask you who were maybe writers you were inspired by, but I heard you say you didn't read a lot. So I was going to ask you if there were anyone you were inspired by or any great books that inspired you, and how did you learn, especially not only to write book form, but to write a fictional book? Because I'm sure it's easier when you're writing non-fictional books like your story. You know how to tell it. But when you're writing fictional books, you have to come up with, you know, a story and however and word it right and do all these things. So how did you learn how to write that way in book form?
Well, actually, it's to the contrary again. Damn. Because I can write fiction better than I can write non-fiction. Because I'm going to tell you why. Because with fiction, man, you can lie like hell. You can say what the hell, any direction. You know what I mean? You can say what the fuck you want. You come up with a story in your head and just drop it. But with nonfiction, right. It's like, especially when it's about your life, you know what I'm saying? It's more harder for me to write a nonfiction, seem like, to me. I mean, I don't know, but yeah.
Okay.
So, yeah, fiction, you know, you can make characters up. Motherfucker can be flying, motherfucker can be running, motherfucker can be, you know what I'm saying? Have $10 million. You know what I'm saying? It's like you can just come up with shit, man. Opposed to a regular book, you got to be like, oh, this motherfucker had this life. He done this. He done this. All he done. But kind of what kept me going with writing is just like, so sometimes, man, I swear, man, sometimes I'll be having writer's block for years, man. I ain't going to lie. I just have it for years at a time. And even with, like, the books that I got, man, sometimes it might take me a paragraph to write. I mean, it may take me a week to write a paragraph. I'm just like a slow writer to write like that. But sometimes it takes me that long because it's like cooking a good meal or whatever. You know, you just kind of want to, you know, for somebody else, opposed to cooking for yourself. You know, when you do it, you want it to be good. You want it to be great, man. You know what I'm saying? You want it to be, like, smooth and something that people really like. So that's what kind of makes me take a long time to write, opposed to a lot of writers that just, they zip it out there quick. I know females that wrote 40 books, man. Several. Not just one. I know 6-7 of them that wrote 40 books. You know what I'm saying? But when it comes to me, because I was in prison for that 20 years, I should have been had a whole lot of books out the way. You know what I'm saying? But I wrote probably 8 books in that period of time.
Right.
But I probably read maybe 100.
But you're saying it's quality over quantity. That's what you're trying to say,
absolutely,
though, right?
Hey,
show.
My sentiments exactly. You know what I'm saying? It's like making good wine, man. You can't rush it, man. You can't rush it. But I think a little bit of that was also me not being really an intellectual person like that. I wasn't really intellectual. I wasn't really sharp like that. But I learned everything that I learned, a lot of things that I learned, not everything, from being in the pen, man. It was like a college, if you will. Like, the federal custody is like college, man. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
I was learning shit, you know, sucking up shit, you know, getting the game on this, and this information on that, or, you know what I'm saying? Just, you know, when most people wouldn't play basketball and cards and shit, dominoes and bullshit around, man, I would be studying up, getting with motherfuckers that was on that level, like, you know what I'm saying? Man, I used to love a movie time, man. I don't know if you've ever been a fan to the pen, but I used to love movie time. You know, they had these movies and shit every week, weekends, movies and shit. And I would love when the movie times come, because when the movie times come, everybody running up in that motherfucking movie. Either they're going to have a movie theater. Like, I've been to joints where they have movie theaters, and they're going to have it on every television inside each unit. So everybody going to get their popcorn, and, you know what I'm saying, because they get one movie per week. Well, no, I think it's one per month, per week, or whatever it was. But it's like a up-to-date movie, so everybody get their popcorn, their pillows, and they had a comfortable spot. And I'd be like, man, I love it. I'm just going to be quiet, and they get to go over there.
Hey,
I'm just going to go ahead. It kind of hurt because I missed a lot of movies.
Right, that's what I was going to ask you. What are some of your favorite movies, if you can name a few?
You know what my favorite movie is, man? I would probably say Training Days, Menace to Society. I like black movies, man. I'm going to keep it 100. I like some black movies, man. Because, man, I ain't really seen a lot, but I like that. And yeah, that's probably it. Them two right there.
That ain't a bad two. They up there, too.
Those
top.
New Line
I like
Cinema go-tos.
Frank Day,
Life was
funny. You don't want to go on bread.
Yeah.
No, I'm kidding. I said those New Line Cinema go-tos.
Hey, I was watching that shit in the jail. What we start dying, I was like, God damn, I'm sitting around license and shit. I'm like, God damn, I'm getting out. These motherfuckers looking at this shit.
Wow.
Yeah, that shit was crazy.
Oh, man.
Yeah, man. I've been really blessed, like I said, man. I just thank God for everything, man. You know, no matter what the situation, every time you look up, I mean, based on the shit I've been through in life, it's like, man, I look up, you know. Like, even when I went to San Quentin, man, I'm setting up with motherfuckers. 80% of the yard is lifers. And it's like, you know, 20%. No, 10% is probably like, you know, on the regular yard, and the other 10% is reception and other shit. So I was a part of the 10% that had under 2 years there. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
I mean, I had 10 years, but when I was there, I had 2 years. Yeah.
Let me ask you, what's the difference though? Because I know you did some federal time too. What would be the difference with state feds? How that time was for you?
The difference was it was like just motherfuckers had knowledge a little bit. It was more gang activity and stuff in the states, but it was some in the feds too, though. But it was more politics and more gang activity in the state, which I hate that shit.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? You got to deal with this bullshit.
That's what I asked you. That's why I asked you, because I know that fair time is different, more a little more, you know, like you said, it's,
like
it's
Disneyland,
with
the shit. Man. You sit back with your legs up, chill. eat popcorn, you know what I'm saying? Meet your rich motherfucker, you know what I'm saying? They look out, you know, learn, get a lot of knowledge and shit. But in the state, see, like in the feds, everybody giving up game, you know, this person. I mean, it's a lot of information in the state, too. I mean, don't get it twisted. Chaos, everybody, they always on security. You always got to be locked down.
You
got to be in.
You know what I'm
saying? Ain't a lot of program in the state. The feds, it was like, it was always program going on. You can move around. You can go to this dorm. You can do your shit. You know, even the motherfuckers that was into this bullshit, you know what I'm saying? Like, you know. Want to go buy weed and go do this or whatever, you know, which I did. I smoked every day when I was in jail, pretty much. You know, people that was in and out.
I've never understood how that could happen. For all of us nerds out here, how can that happen?
I think I caught with 18 ounces in that motherfucker before. Well, they found 18 ounces of weed I had. How you smoke in jail?
No, I'm being a weirdo. I know how.
Oh, okay.
I was just like, how could it just happen? Yeah, just like with the phones and everything else. It's like, geez, the stuff that you don't. I'm old. I've watched Oz and all that other stuff, so I know, you know, it could happen. But it's just like,
wow,
really does happen. Yeah. Wow.
Well, that's why when I finally get in a position to take care of my business, man, I'm going to be writing about all kind of shit. It's just going to be so beautiful.
Right.
You know? I just want to be in a position to where I can just take people's stories on and, you know, write what I want to write by and not have to worry about the grind and making the money and all this shit. You know, I want to be $200-300 million of it. Okay, well, and it's going to happen. I believe this. This is my dream. So, whatever I dream happens.
That's so awesome. That leads me to what I wanted to ask you next, G. Lou, if I may, Mr. Jace.
Go ahead.
I was looking at page 4 and 5, actually, of Gangster Jake Peace Treaty 2017. And what I noticed was, you know how they say a hit song, you're going to know a hit song in the first 15 seconds, right? Well, when I read, I'm kind of like that, too. You know, something has to captivate me. I love to read the dedications that are in the, you know, front before the people's book starts. If you don't mind, can I just share a little bit of that? It just really caught my eye because it just shows how you're truly appreciative. And I think that's so important, especially when you're writing a book. But just at the bottom of page 4, it's part of his it's part of your acknowledgement, and it says, out of this lifetime, our friendship we established as off the chain youth back in the days during a shootout we were having with, let's say, some opposition. You saved my life, G. Once my gun jammed and I was hit, I thought it was over until your trigger finger got us out of the line of fire. Without you doing that, none of this would have been possible. Through my journey as a self-published author, I've run across a lot of different celebrities who have all given me a little knowledge to grow on. I often wonder how many of those celebrities have actually taken the time out to read the free books I handed them. Believe it or not, Maxine Waters was the most adamant and excited famous person I have ever given a copy to. She even promised to read it as soon as she boarded her next plane ride, which would be that day. Thanks, Maxine. You helped to inspire me to write this trilogy in the fashion I did, opposed to the total buck wild past the first two volumes were on. Thank you, along with Percy, Master P, Nikki Turner, Zane, Ricky Smalley, Suge Knight, Common, Eddie Griffin, and Monique. They were some of the other celebrities I've had the pleasure of becoming acquainted with through this book journey. The simple congratulations extended to me inspired me in ways that we'll probably never know. By the way, congratulations on winning a Grammy, Monique. You did that. Stay keeping it sexy for all the beautiful plus-size sisters. I love y'all to death. Well, I have some more, yes, writing to do. Enjoy the read. Always love author Nairi Chase. That just caught my eye really fast, so I'm just like, yeah, go out there, get those books, like, certified, official. Yeah, this is awesome. Right. Oh,
yeah, I met a lot of people on this book journey though, man. Like I said, Monique, Master P, Eddie Griffith, I met Common. When you're in LA, you know, you run across these people, man. You know, can't know where you're at. You run across them at way out places sometimes. But
and everyone's trying to do something in LA. Like, that's the place, you know, we're from LA, and it's just like, you know, it's a regular test, but everybody from other places, and they think everywhere is Hollywood, and it's not.
I know,
so even, yeah, to even gain, you know, those people, I don't know how you got in the same, you know, room with them or whatnot, but to be able to share your work, being through what you went through. Yeah, so you did. That's big ups to you on that one. Yeah.
I'm gonna zip it. That's why I was asking y'all where were you guys from when I first, you know, said when I first broke it down. Did they explain LA? I was like, okay, he's from LA.
We can identify with each other differently.
You know what I'm saying? That's just like when I was in the feds. You know what I'm saying? When I was in the feds, they had me way. You know, I've been in places like Oklahoma, Illinois. You know, they put your ass on airplanes when you go in the feds when you get to fucking up. So. They sent me to Illinois, and, you know, when you talk to people out there, you know, it's a whole different type of conversation. Like, you know, just say, where you from? Where you from, but, you know, it's like if you're from L.A., you're like where you, like, what hood you from or what state you from? It's a difference from, you know, state to state. You know, people in different regions and shit like that in the world. And I've dealt with people from locally and people from, you know, different regions. So, yeah. Oh, that becomes beneficial. Yeah,
now,
I'm listening. Nairi,
I want to ask you, how is that when you doing fair time, like you say, when they'll just ship you opposed to state, they'll just ship you to a whole nother, not only a state, but you can go all the way across the coast. You know, how is that?
You go all the way to Guam.
How do you deal with that? And how do you adapt? How do you deal with that? And how do you adapt? I mean, I'm sure you're still confined, so it's not like you're out in the, you know, but how do you deal with that? Going to a whole different state or way across the country, you know what I mean, when you're doing that time like that?
Well, the question was, how do I adapt when I'm doing time?
Fed time, when they can ship you out somewhere from California.
Oh, yeah, no, I understand the question. I was just saying, because I'm on a couple of different platforms. Yeah, but yeah, definitely, I pretty much, just deal with it like, you know, it's a little different because you're in a different time zone and shit, and, you know, different people, but it's pretty much all the same, man. You know what I'm saying?
Right. Okay. Okay. Go ahead, Marcy.
Yeah. But it was interesting. It was interesting doing time in the snow, though, man. That shit was crazy, though.
I was going to ask you about the weather. Like, had you ever been out of state prior to that happening?
Yeah, hell, have I been out of state prior to me going to the feds?
Having to go to Illinois.
Oh, hell yeah. On the street, I used to be out in Denver, Colorado, you know, when I was young, I used to be traveling, doing a lot of different, you know, getting my money, serving, you know, the shit Ice Cube and it was rapping about, we was really doing, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
I respect them for what they did. They was able to turn what we did into millions of dollars, man. You know what I'm saying? You know, like, I'm just talking about, I'm thinking about that one song about when they be talking about when they be in St. Louis. Boom, the homie got shot. He's a gonna black St. Louis niggas want to come to us back. We was out there really doing this shit, man. We was really doing this shit. But it was fun. It was different. But it was like, man, and I talk about all that in my memoir, which is my autobiography. I talk about all that, man. You know, from growing up in South Central Los Angeles, from, you know, being on the East Side, hanging out in Inglewood, from, you know, just going to Colorado, fucking Nebraska, Iowa. You know, I was just a youngster, just traveling, just doing my shit, man. You know, just exploring life, man.
Two-parter. Is the information, ordering additional copies, contact, name and phone number, email address, is everything still the same as on the website?
Absolutely. Yeah, I'm actually, like I mentioned, the website is being built right now, so whatever you see right there is definitely new. Go to jaceproductions.com. Check me out. Check out my I got a couple books up there right now. I will have my whole showcase. Investors that are interested in the Gangsta Jake story, man, check me out. You know what I'm saying? Man, I'm talking about
movie
Boosie,
producers,
I'm talking about Snoop
Dogg, producers.
I'm talking about, I'm
listen
talking about everybody. With, you know what I'm saying? I mean, I sit down with a few people. I sit down with Harry O. You know, we chopped it up for, you know, a couple of hours. I sit down with Victor Novell. You know, a couple of people that was, you know, busy. I'll just say, I'll leave it at that. They was busy. You know, with other things or whatever, but like I always mentioned, you know, with these projects, you gotta, when they're independent like this, you know, you're not really known, and you know, you're not really out there like that, you gotta keep grinding and just keep doing things like I did with the Gangsta Jake pilot. We actually shot the pilot. When you get a chance,
wow.
You gotta check it out on my website on the Jace Productions. It's a minute. You
never
know,
ever
you know.
Give up. Never ever
out,
give up.
Check out my characters. Check out my boy Murdoch from my neighborhood. Murdoch Doc, Jonathan Lomar. You know him and his wife. They got the you know, they take care of the business with when it comes to life insurance. You know, check them out with that. He's also an actor. But as time goes on, you know, some of these names that I'm dropping, you'll hear about them a little bit more. Definitely.
Cool. Would you ever consider writing, being like a staff writer for said TV shows such as Snowfall, BMF? Because a lot of those writers,
mm-hmm.
they don't come from where 50 Cent came from. Just how you were saying, oh, I haven't watched but maybe two
right.
episodes of Snowfall.
Well, I'm definitely down to be a
get
staff
a contract
writer.
That's, for that, right.
Right. Right. That's
right.
A good one, though. I would definitely be a staff writer, though. I mean, I'm not above working, putting in work, you know, with things that I'm very interested in, and I'm very interested in writing. So when it comes to films, so, yeah, hell yeah, I'd be down to be a, do a staff,
you're listening
be a staff
out
writer. Yeah, put it in the atmosphere, girl. That's what I'm talking about. Shout out to my boy, Dave Pook, too, man. Just want to give a shout out to my director on the Gangsta Jake project and also the thing endeavors that he's into as well. But yeah, man, yeah, it was good to, you know, hang out with y'all. It was really appreciative. I appreciate you guys, you know, platform and, you know, coming together, connecting the dots. Because each, you know, the way I look at it, each show is a podcast. I mean, each show is a connection. It's a
right.
dot being connected. You know what I'm saying? And I do believe in, you know, things happening overnight. Too, you know what I'm saying? A lot of people say
right.
they don't, but then again,
like
it wasn't.
Never
really, you
know,
but at some point, it got to happen. At some point, even if, you know, everybody had to make it happen at some point overnight.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying?
Right.
At some point, you looked up and woke up. Jay-Z had to look up, wake up at some point and said, "Okay, this is the next day. I can really, it's really finna happen. It's happening now." So, I just I look forward to that moment happening, and I encourage everybody who, you know. Find yourself in situations to where they want to give up on shit. Don't give up. I don't give a damn what the situation is. You can be in jail. You can be on the street. You can be wherever. If you got an opportunity, if you're breathing, if they ain't caged you in, stuck something in you and killed you, keep going. Keep going. In a
if
positive
they did
way,
wanted to contact you, Tyler Perry Studios or someone from said BMF production, is there a management team or we're just going to straight go to your website?
Absolutely. You can go to my website and you can go to investors on my website, leave your information, leave the website. My information is there. Again, that's jaceproductions.com. Go up in there, leave your information, get with me. I mean, I'm on Facebook, Instagram. You know, I'm out there.
Can we have your handles, Mr. JC, for your Instagram?
Yeah, that would be Nairi 3rd. That's my Instagram. Facebook is just Arthur Nyeri Jace. Arthur Nyeri Jace, like A-U-T-H-O-R. Nyeri Jace, that's on Facebook. But don't forget that Can't Get Enough, y'all. I'm really trying to blow that book up right here. That Can't Get Enough. It's a great book. I got part two coming. Even though I lost part one, I'm going to definitely get out and finish the second book. I remember most of it, and as I start writing, it'll come back. Mm-hmm. But Can't Get Enough is a hot book. Don't sleep on that. Don't sleep on the Gangsta Jake in Result of a Snitch Projects, part one, two, part three. By all means, as I mentioned, man, if there's an executive producer out there, Snoop Dogg, Dr. Dre, E-40, hey, man, anybody on that level, come fuck with me. Ice Cube, where you at, man? Shit. I'm going to fuck with your homeboy, man. Shit. Scarface. Don't have nobody from the East Coast do it. 50 Cent. Somebody out there. Like you said, I got to put it in the atmosphere. Just put it out there. I'm just putting it out there. All
That's
me.
Right.
That's right.
That's right. Anything else we did not speak about that we need to talk about or you want to put out there, bro?
Man, I can't think of anything much more other than, you know, don't forget about the books. Don't forget about where you can locate the books at. You can go to Barnes & Noble. You can go to Amazon.com. And more importantly, you can go to Jase, which is my last name, productions.com. Check me out there. Other than that, hey, man, you know, we said a whole lot, which I appreciate every word just being spoken. You know, life is great, and life is definitely worth repeating because sometimes it takes a few times for people to get it, and I understand that. So, by all means, if y'all get a chance, check me out, check my website out, and check that damn trailer out, man. It's hot.
That's right.
You know, we shot it 5 days, man. It took us 5 days to shoot it. You know, it ain't the best. It's a rough draft. Just let everybody know, just throwing it out there. It's a rough draft, but just to show you guys the potential that we're filmmakers, we're ex-gang members, we just trying to create opportunities for people in our community to, you know, move forward, man, just have a good life, man. We right next to Hollywood, so our thing is be that close to Hollywood, man. We might well go after some of the budget over there, shit, because we got stories, too. You know what I'm saying? We definitely got stories as well.
I'm wishing you the best of luck. I'm going to get my copies as well as a reader. And I'm also, I'm going to pledge to you, Mr. Jace, I'm going to put you actually in contact with Troy Terrain from the Star Report, just to see if we can get you some more traction, some more exposure. I'll get all the information to you, but it will be a business contact, okay? So I'm going to go ahead and do that. And it's just been a pleasure and an honor. Thank you
young lady.
Our questions definitely. And having us. No worries.
Absolutely. Where you guys based at, anyway? Where you guys at?
Mars. No.
I heard that. I like it. Yeah, I'm Mars. I ain't mad at you, Mars. I'm at Mars, too.
I don't know where D-Lo is, but I'm on Mars.
I ain't talking about like what state you are. I'm talking what state
you are. Oh, No. I'm from Los Angeles. I'm from Compton and / Pacoima relocated. Yeah, so right now I'm doing a little 909. So, still in California. Yep.
California's good. It's great. I ain't mad at you.
Not in Hollywood, but we trying to get you to Hollywood. Okay.
Yeah, we're right around the corner. We can see it on a shiny day. On a shiny, bright day, we can all see the Hollywood sign, no matter what neighborhood you're in. Just go on the second floor or the roof.
Right.
We all try to get in.
Right.
Stay knocking at the door. That's my message.
D-Lo, where you at? You over there on Venus? Where you at? You on Pluto? No, they took that out the solar system.
Absolutely.
He said, you on Pluto? They took Pluto out.
They took Pluto off. They took it out the books.
Well, no. I don't believe
it. They said
that.
It's not a planet.
But
Are you serious?
They said Pluto is not a planet. I don't believe that. Well, you know, I was taught that a whole bunch of them ain't no planets.
I didn't know that.
Oh, don't have to get deep into my religion. That's a whole religion. That's a whole other conversation.
Hey, I want to before we go, I want to shout out Baby Pook, man. I know you shouted him out, but I want to shout out Baby Pook for making it happen.
That's my boy, Baby Pook, man. That's my director.
Yeah, shout out to Baby Pook, always doing great things in the community, and always Baby Pook is one that's always bringing that community together, bringing your neighborhood together. He's connected me with so many people, brought so many people on. Like I've been dealing
that's
with
cool,
Pook
man.
For years. Yeah, so shout out to Pook, man. Making it happen, man, for sure.
Definitely. Him and my boy Avalon Blue, he be pushing things together. Avalon Blue, my boy Cartoon, he's doing real good with YouTube.
Cartoon, right now, doing this stuff. That's my boy, too. Yeah. Shout out to Cartoon. Hey,
shout
one more thing
Cartoon.
I want to ask you. I want to ask you about, speaking about the peace treaty, I know you guys had, like, the anniversary of the peace treaty just a year ago or so over there in the park.
Right.
Tell us about that event, man, because that was incredible.
Yeah, it was pretty cool, man. Man, we was there, man.
I know it had a couple hiccups, but overall it was good.
Right, it was pretty decent, man. It was pretty decent. I actually got some video and stuff and all that. I'm going to actually release some of that, maybe on my page, maybe through my Facebook or YouTube. But I got a lot of video of that. I was cleaning my phone. I discovered that, you know, you clean your phone, you discover video. I said, damn, I got a bunch of video for that day. But it was peaceful, man. It was cool. It was, like you said, a little hiccups, but it was decent. Enough for the mayor to pull up. You know, the mayor heard about it. He brought his ass out there, you know, get a little shine on him. Since then, he's working over there in India now. He's the ambassador to India. But, yeah, man, he was there. Tony Muhammad was there. Bunch of people from the Nation of Islam was there. And we had a great turnout, man. It's, you know, it's just all about trying to perpetuate that same thing that we had going right then. And, you know, the thing that we had going on in 92 as well. Because, I mean, and when Nipsey passed, you know, we've been trying to do this peace treaty thing, man. You know, hopefully as time go on, we can shut it down. Because, like I mentioned in the book, man, we the only ones lose from this thing. Killing each other, man, back and forth, man. I mean, this shit ain't flying. Nothing cool about it. I mean, and you know, I kind of understand the youngsters in a way, you know, but I mean, because I don't go too hard against, you know, certain things, because when I was young, you know what I'm saying, but it's like, but when you really, really know and understand, you can see past it, man. But, and I just hate for, you know, a person to have to get older, old, or maybe not be able to get to my age to realize that, you know, it just ain't the thing to do, man.
Right.
We all, like I mentioned in the beginning, man, most of us family, you know, we get along in prison. We hang out. We eat food with each other. We smoke cigarettes, smoke weed, you know, stay in jail. We have each other back, man, especially on certain yards, man, because it's like, man, that the politics is real deep over the states. You know, Mexicans, blacks, you know, whites against them. It's like, man, everywhere you go in the world, man, everybody's against the black man. So you got to team up and piece up at some point. So it's like, damn, can we get it together on the street? But guess what? If we don't get together on the street, maybe we can get together based on the film, this Gangsta Jake series. Because, you know, I get a Barbie when it finally come out, when it become a reality, when you can see it, like how they're seeing 50 Cent stuff on TV.
Y'all
gonna love it. I'm listening. Yes,
Nari, all I'm saying is, all I want to know, you just, all I ask is that we definitely be, me and Marcy be invited to the premiere, homie. You gotta,
absolutely.
The G Show and Queen Jean, we gotta be at that premiere. That's
yeah,
all I'm
we
saying.
Need
right?
three. Me, you, cousin Queen Jean.
Right.
I need y'all there.
We gotta
I need y'all there. Y'all, you know, you guys to help me support. You guys supporting the cause right now. So everybody that was a part of this connection, when it finally happened, I need everybody there, front and center, to, you know, just bliss in it, man. Because guess what? When one connect, we all connect. You know what I'm saying? That's why I like, you know, how Tyler Perry and them get down. You know, they connect people, man. A lot of people eat based on his, you know, movements and, you know, his success, which is the way it should be. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
And shit. That's why I hate what happened to Nipsey, man, because of him passing,
man.
Yeah, that shit hurt. That shit hurt the whole community.
The fire was cut off. Yeah, man.
Because them youngsters, they ain't. It's just, I don't know, man. It's not the same, man.
It ain't the same when Nipsey was around over there for the area, man. That shit then went down. My man ain't eating. And this one
like,
dude
yeah,
messed
like,
all this up.
Yeah, man.
Sad.
Yeah, exactly.
And, you know,
exactly.
like I said, you know, I do understand that, you know, these wars, how people be bitter and they be caught up in their feelings sometime. But, man, we got to get over that, man. We got to get over tripping on each other. We got to get over tripping on the past, the shit, you know what I'm saying? Like I mentioned,
being caught up in your feelings. But look, we got to get past being caught up in your feelings, because being caught up in your feelings shouldn't equate to you going to killing another man, homie.
Exactly.
Period.
We got to get past that, man, because we all that we got, man. I mean, we about to extinct each other. We about to really extinct each other, man. In 10 years, 20 years, if we keep this shit up.
Exactly.
It's like, you know, the murders have went down. Like, you know, I'm 54 right now, and, you know, back in the 90s, you know, I was looking at the stats and stuff like that. The murders, they have decreased tremendously since then, but it's more happening. You know, they're highlighting it more because of all the social media and all that, but it's still going on, man. It's just one person killed is too many, you know what I'm saying? So it's like, at some point, man, we need to do like Rodney King said, man. Can we all get along? Can we all get along? Straight up.
Yeah. We're not going to all get along. We know that. But at least we got to have some learn to have some respect.
At least drop
just
the gun.
Respect. That's it. You got to get along, but learn to respect another person, man.
Just stop killing each other. Fuck it.
So
you ain't got like me.
Stop
killing
like each other. Stop telling on each other as you talk about
right.
Gangsta Jake and result of a snitch. This just in, hot off the press, guys. Prize from the Fugees. They just came out with an article. He violated that rule. Apparently, he worked with the FBI. So you remember when that other guy, Prize from the Fugees.
From the Fugees?
So remember when that guy went to jail that was with them and, like, kind of in their group and in their circle? Oh, I can't wait to get in on this. Yeah, this is going to be answered. And it's very interesting. Yes.
Wow.
It just came through.
Wow.
But go pick up that book, listeners. Go
pick
up that book.
Copy that Gangsta Jake book.
Gangsta
Jake.
Yep.
Gangsta Jake. Thank you, sir, for joining us tonight, man. A great conversation. We learned a lot, too, man.
I appreciate you guys, man.
Yes, man. Great, great conversation, bro. Thank you, man, for joining us, homie.
I'll be in touch, Mr. JC. And I'm going to send you the information to get in touch with Troy Terrain.
Okay, definitely. Yeah.
Thank you so much.
Because, you know, I do follow up. One thing about me, you know, I follow up when it comes to the business and, you know, people connect me with folks. I definitely make sure I reach out.
We never know what could happen.
We never know what
could happen. Much blessings. Much blessings.
At least try.
Exactly. Exactly.
That's
right.
That's
right.
Man.
So I thank you guys for that.
Man.
Thank you for the opportunity of being here. By all means, as I mentioned, as time goes on, shit, things get better for me, get better for anybody out there listening. Hit me up. We can connect the circles. Yeah, I'm trying to get this film out ASAP. The series out ASAP. And it's gonna take the right people, you know, that's willing to help. But I got a piece of the puzzle. That's one thing. I got a piece of the puzzle.
Keep your pen hand strong. Keep your pen
hand
strong. You say to other people, keep your pen hand strong.
Yeah. I'm with that. But
my man.
Y'all be good. Take care. And
be in touch.
Man.
We're going to make that video thing happen next. So I'll be in touch with you, bro.
Yeah, definitely get with me on the next one, man. We do this audio. We turn it to a video.
Yes, sir.
And we can, you know, however you want to do it, chop it up. We can do it. We can, you know, bring people involved, beside myself, Tiny Bo, whatever, whoever. I mean, I know a few people around, and we can make it work, man. I'm all about progress.
Yes,
I'm all about trying to help each other grow.
Right. Yeah, we're going to make that happen for sure. I'm going to be in touch with you ASAP, and we'll set a date.
Okay.
All right. Thank you. All right, sweetheart. Take care of yourself, and y'all be
take
good.
Take care, Mr. JC.
Okay, hit me up. Don't forget to get them books, y'all. Just go to Amazon.com, Barnes & Noble. Put my name inside the search engine, N-Y-E-R-E-R-E, which is Nyeri, and my last name is Jace, J-A-S-E. Put inside the search engine, or go to JaceProductions.com. Thank y'all for your time. Y'all been wonderful, all right?
You're welcome. Take care.
Okay, bye-bye.
We'll be right back.
I'm out.
I need everybody to go to Amazon.com and put in the search engine, N-Y-E-R-E-R-E, J-A-S-E. This is my new book, Can't Get Enough. Check me out, Amazon.com.
There it is. There it is. Marcy, we got some minutes left. We're kicking it still. Do we have a Marcy minute, or was that it with the prize and we're coming back with it Sunday, or what?
Oh. What's pop? Marcy's minute. Let me see if I can fit something in here. Okay, so I just talked about prize a little bit. People, it seems he got caught up. He was over there informing, allegedly, while he was being a celebrity in hip-hop. We know prize is from the Fugees, and more to come. They're over there roasting him right now. Let's see what else happened. Speaking of Coyle Ray, we talked about Coyle Ray a little bit.
Oh.
Seems like she didn't take too kindly to Miss Lotto, one of her verses in her new song, comparing her to the size of a blunt. So she didn't like that at all. The gauntlets were thrown. Lotto has yet to respond. Ice Spice and Nicki Minaj are over there with All the Rage with a new song. I don't have any opinion on that. They just have a new song. Good deal for y'all. I just find it funny that Nicki's going to work with Ice Spice and not none of the 8 other rap females that she told him she was. But now I guess they no longer get along. Moving right along, Jonathan Majors supposedly, allegedly has more accusers who are coming out. His management team has dropped him. More on that. King Von has been dubbed the first serial killer of rap. There is a documentary going around about the late King Von. They're calling him a serial killer gangster. I might have to watch that. Joyndalyn and Tim Savage recently went on the Storm and Row platform to defuse claims of them using their child for money, donations, and just the overall disrespectfully accused R. Kelly of something done with their daughter who was of age. Now, Joyndalyn couldn't keep her cool. If you want to see that, going over to Storm and Row. It got very heated. Mr. Savage could not even keep Joyndalyn. Like, she just kept hollering and screaming at everybody that would call in. So I just found that very interesting. Jaguar Wright is still out here losing control, even though I think she's in jail. That's the last I heard about her. And then what else? There was something else I wanted to tell you all. Chloe Bailey flops. I blame Jay-Z and Roc Nation. We talked about Jonathan Major. Oh, the boy that called LeBron, what did he call him, G-Lou? He called him old. He called him old. He said LeBron's old, and yeah, so people aren't happy about that. I think that's their first team that they're playing in the playoffs. Let's see. Yeah, I don't have anything else. None of our listeners will know about the other stuff I want to talk about. So, oh, Dylan Brooks, that's his name, after the Grizzlies won. He called LeBron James old and, said some other stuff about him, but the Grizzlies did win game 2. That was recorded 9 hours ago. You can also find that on the Star Report. And did you all happen to see the substitute teacher who happened to get into a live brawl in the classroom with a student over her cell phone. A viral video of a fight between a substitute teacher and a student at Rocky Mount High School making its rounds around social media, and people share their opinion on the situation. Rocky Mount police are looking into the physical altercation that took place in a classroom of a Rocky Mount High School Monday morning, April 17th. This is very just yesterday kind of happening. According to WITN, Xavieria, yeah, I said that right, Steele, a substitute teacher at Nash County Schools, that's in North Carolina.
Okay.
It's a Nash County school in North Carolina. They haven't named a student yet, but if you see that video, oh my goodness, a lot of people couldn't get over the attire that the world found out seeing that the teacher did have on, which included a thong, Cisco. It was a thong.
I seen that across my feed many, many times, and I seen the caption. So I was just so just like by that, I was already saying I don't even want to watch this because I don't want to see. You know, I don't know how it what happened, how it ended. I just didn't want to see that, but I already read the caption and could see what was going on. So I was aware of it, but I didn't watch it. So I didn't know all that. You said,
yeah,
oh my God.
She had on the thong, 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 thong. And there was a big debate the other night.
So
is this proper attire? Oh, it got super ugly. I'm telling you, that she was just on this young lady. We shouldn't have seen her backside. No way. So we shouldn't even know.
That's why she shouldn't have been. And I understand because I know what's going on these days. These youngsters is different. You know, the respect, and they could probably be a teacher or a grown up. But you still have to remain calm and not let it get there to where, like you said, that happened and you were exposed and all that, because it shouldn't have got there, being that you are the adult and the teacher. And I know these kids can provoke you, trust me, but it still shouldn't have got there to where we see that. That's why I did not even watch the video personally, but it shouldn't have got there.
I couldn't believe what I was hearing about how they were able to see what she had on. And then like the young lady with all of that is true and correct. No, you can't do that. Yeah, it was just a mess, but of course that's out there now. It's crazy. One more thing I want to tell you all, tonight, if you can, after you check out Jilu After Hours, right after this, if you all want to go on over to Hulu, you can watch the 2-episode premiere. Tonight, it's Tupac, Dear Mama, from director Alan Hughes, okay? Isn't that ironic?
That's what I'm doing next. I already had that plan. I'm glad you reminded me. That's what I was about to do
right
next.
Go ahead, Cuzzo. So I'm hearing good reviews about it. But just a little tidbit, FX's Dear Mama is both an audio and visual experience. Tupac's timeless message is undeniable. As beats evaporate into soundscapes and his lyrics reveal to be the mantras of passion and politics, it eschews strict chronology for a style that slides back and forth in time, finding linkages between mother and son, the 1970s and 1990s black activism and hip-hop that highlight how much has and has not changed in the struggle for human rights. Through this technique, the eras speak to each other and melt time away, shifting the dual narratives into one definitive portrait of a global superstar and the woman who shaped him, forever linked by love and fate. Dear Mama, it's now streaming on Hulu.
Hey.
And that's a lot of minutes now. That was a lot. Went over. I know I went over, but we had a few minutes.
That. That's Marcy's minutes. Marcy's minutes. It's all good.
Yeah. What they say when they go in the studio without their raps written on it? That was a freestyle. Okay. Fabulous Flashback Fridays. Oh, shout out to you, Queen Jean. If you're out there, we miss
Queen
you.
Jean? Queen Jean in Vegas.
Oh,
hell,
the queen.
Shout out to Queen Jean.
Enjoy the vacation. I know. I'm going to leave Mars, and I'm going to get to her. So I'm putting that in the air. But, yep. So, wonderful show. That was very enjoyable. Love that interview. That was just simply awesome.
Yeah, yay. We'll see you guys on Sunday night. Much love and respect. Cousin Marcy, G Lou.
Mm-hmm.
And this is something to dance
Yo,
to.
Give me something to dance to.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
Arabian Prince, back with a style of hype. Not slowing low, it's the fast type. Getting dumb, can you hear the drum?
Yo, Dre, why don't you pump it up some?
I pumped it up, so now what's up?
Yo, yellow boy, add a little cut.
What the hell, you think we need some bells?
Yeah, homeboy, might as well.
There it is, so now what's next?
A little, so find me out.
Hold it, wait a minute, you need something else in it. This is what I want you to do. Feel the groove, bust the move.
Yo, yo, I'm tired, what about you?
Man, this is something to dance to, too.
Whack, everybody use that.
Yo, won't you bring back the other track?
Yeah, there you go, that's what I'm saying. I like it when that dope stuff is playing real loud, in your ear hole.
Man, let's go, I think my feet are swole from dancing so damn much.
Man, I don't give a
what?
You wanna leave with all these females pulling on my sleeve?
I bet you can jet home, boy, no sweat.
This is what I want you to do. Feel the groove, bust the move.
Let the bass kick.
This is something to dance to.